Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It's about that time. Happy hump day to you all. It is April 10th, 2019. And man, oh man, do we got a lot to get to today. I could really do a five-hour show today. This show is just bleeding with topic after topic after topic, folks. I mean, the night that was in the National Basketball Association was pretty riveting. Because you had the retirement, you know, the final home games for Dwayne Wade, who's a staple in the city of Miami, Florida, right? For his entire career with the Miami Heat. His last game at American Airlines Arena. And then in Dallas, Dirk Nowitzki, who is a staple in the Dallas, Texas community throughout his tenure with the Dallas Mavericks, Dirk announced that last night was his final home game for the Mavericks. Very emotional there. But the story that unfortunately trumped both of those moments. Two NBA legends walking away from the game. Well, the story that trumped both of those moments concerned a longtime NBA legend in Irvin Magic Johnson, former Michigan State basketball great. Irvin, who was the president of basketball operations for the Los Angeles Lakers, Magic Johnson held an impromptu press conference to announce that he is stepping down from that position with the Lakers. And I don't know if you guys watched the press conference. I don't know how you couldn't have. I mean, it's gone viral. There have been many jokes and memes made from the press conference, GIFs, whatever you want to call it. Just craziness when it comes to that moment, because one, Magic Johnson did not tell Jeannie Buss that he was stepping down. The first that Jeannie heard about this move was, I guess, via social media. And, you know, the first time that she heard an explanation, of course, based, you know, on this decision from Magic was the press conference that he held with the media last night. And it's like, you know, okay, I'm waiting for Magic to give like a solid reason as to why he stepped down. But he basically said, look, I want to get back to being Magic Johnson. that was, I kid you not, that was the legit reason that Magic gave for stepping down last night as the president of basketball operations for the Los Angeles Lakers. I want to get back to being Magic Johnson. Now, there's more to that. And later on this hour, you're going to get my thoughts on that press conference, because there's a load I want to get to when it comes to it. All right, I got some thoughts as to whether or not this was the right move, whether or not this makes Magic Johnson look bad, whether or not this makes the Los Angeles Lakers organization look bad. I think you know the answer to that question, at least. And what does this mean for LeBron James and the future of this once highly respected franchise in sports? You do not want to miss that conversation. Trust me, okay? Also, if we got time, we'll talk about the Detroit Pistons. I mean, the NBA stole the show last night. The Detroit Pistons clinging on, rallying back, and finding a way to somehow
some way beat the Memphis Grizzlies and stay in playoff contention in the NBA's Eastern Conference. I'll briefly touch on that if I get time. And then we'll bring to you the Tom Izzo press conference. Today, the end-of-year press conference taking place. Boy, oh boy, was it a long one. It was like no holds barred. Izzo said, look, man, I got all the time in the world. I got until 3 p.m. I don't know if the thing is still going. I don't think it is. I don't think it is. But I said, all right, I got to chuck the deuces and get ready for my radio show. But that was an hour into the press conference. Okay, it began at 11 a.m. And by the time I said, all right, let me grab my recorder, you know, it was still going on. So I don't know what the official clock was on that press conference. But, of course, we're not going to play the entire hour of that press conference. I'm going to play 10 minutes of it, okay? And you'll get to hear what Coach Izzo had to say, all right, as he puts a bow on the year that was, the final 4 year that was for the Michigan State men's basketball team. We will try to get to all of that, while, of course, inviting you all to be a part of the hour. If you got thoughts on Michigan State men's basketball, if you got thoughts on the night that was in the NBA, Dwayne Wade retiring, Dirk Nowitzki retiring, Magic Johnson stepping down from the Lakers organization, the Detroit Pistons finding a way to survive against the Memphis Grizzlies and stay in the playoff hunt. So much in the NBA, right? Only in the NBA do you get all of that drama on one night. or anything on your sports noggin. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News, and you can comment below the live stream, and you can also tweet us, tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Here are your quick hit headliners. Okay, we start here in his final press conference of the season, and I see there's some speculation actually happening on our Facebook page right now. I'll clear this up right now when it comes to what Izzo had to say this morning and into the afternoon at his end-of-season press conference. In his final presser, Tom Izzo is recommending, he's just recommending, that both juniors, Cassius Winston and Nick Ward, quote, take a look, end quote, at entering the NBA draft. Now, that doesn't mean that he's encouraging them to go. He's just saying get an evaluation. Get an evaluation. See where NBA execs and coaches and GMs, where they believe you will go if you were to come out, and then make a decision from there. All right? Izzo went on to say that he's not a fan of, quote, going through the process just to go through the process, but went on to add, quote, everyone is put on this earth to try and live their dreams. I love that quote. That was actually my favorite. Whoever put that quote in the headliners, shout out to you. I love that quote. That was my favorite quote of the press conference. Izzo finished up saying that he has a good feeling about what the two juniors will do and mentioned that they have until tomorrow to put their names in. All right. Then there's another deadline that comes at the, you know, near the end of April. And then there's another one that comes in May. To either make that decision to go or to stay. And you can have an agent right now. Of course, that agent can't drop any money on you, you know, so there are some stipulations when it comes to the NC2A. But you can have an agent, you can test the waters and go from there. No Spartan has said that they are leaving Michigan State. If you heard that, tell that brother or sister that you are completely wrong. All right, I don't know where you're getting that news from, but it is wrong. Now, news did break when it comes to the Michigan men's basketball program yesterday, that Iggy Brazdeikis, Jordan Poole, and Charles Matthews will be entering the NBA draft. Now, even though that's what's reported and that's what they're saying right now, again, if somehow, some way, Matthews, Poole, or Brazdeikis look at their draft evaluation and say, well, you know what, on second thought, they can do that. because that deadline, again, is not until like late April. And then there's two like deadlines, one in late April and I believe one in May. Okay, so there's still time. So don't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if one of those three at least said, never mind, I'm coming back to play for John Beilein. We'll see. All right, Michigan State softball exploded for 5 home runs and earned a commanding 16-4 dub. 6 innings at Central Michigan on Tuesday afternoon. The Spartan Homer Parade featured 4 players. Charla Eccles had 2. Melanie Bacay hit a 2-run shot. Caitlin Evelyn had a 3-run homer. Lainey Joyner added a pinch hit, a grand slam in the top of the 6th. And it helped extend MSU's winning streak to 3 games and improve the Spartans to 15-22. The Spartans return to action this weekend when they head to number 19 Minnesota for a 3-game Big Ten series. Tuesday's final round of the Clemson Invitational was suspended indefinitely due to poor weather conditions in the world of women's college golf, with 18 teams having competed varying amounts of their final round on Tuesday at the reserve at Lake Cowie. Final scores reverted to the end of the 2nd round. The number 18 Spartans finished at 4 over par, a 580, and in 11th place, just 5 shots out of the top 5. So some pesky weather halting things there at the Clemson Invitational for the Michigan State women's hockey program. All right, after taking the first game of a 4-game series against the West Michigan Whitecaps on Monday, the Lansing Lugnuts dropped game 2 of the series last night, 7-6 at Cooley Law School Stadium. The Whitecaps' 4-run 4th inning was the difference, and even a 3-RBI performance from leadoff man Reggie Pruitt wasn't enough for the Luggies as they fall to 3-3 on the young season. Game 3 between those two is 6:05 p.m. tonight. They will wrap up the series tomorrow afternoon, just after 1 p.m. We'll be on the air, of course. Both games played at Cooley Law School Stadium starting tonight. Corey Kluber earned his first win of the season in his 3rd start, powered by 4 home runs that sent the Cleveland Indians over the Detroit Tigers, 8-2 the final. The Indians won their 5th in a row, stopped Detroit's 5-game win streak, and retook the lead in a division they've won 3 straight years. Jordan Zimmermann gave up 4 earned runs of the 5 he allowed and was chased in the 5th. He had allowed just 1 run in 13 2/3 innings in his first 2 starts. Game 2 of the 3-game set currently underway on Fox Sports Detroit. Matt Boyd taking on Trevor Bauer. And let's see if anybody has scored here as my browser refreshes. Top of the 1st, 0-0. All right, we'll keep you updated on that score throughout the hour. The Detroit Pistons overcame a 19-point halftime deficit for the first time in more than 30 years, beating the Memphis Grizzlies 100-93 last night to keep their playoff hopes alive. Talk about clutch.
Playoffs?
Yeah, playoffs, baby.
Playoffs? You kidding me?
I'm a believer playoffs? Now. I'm a believer now. I think the Pistons are going to get this thing done. Maybe I'm speaking more so with my heart than my head. We'll see, though. The game turned when Detroit sat a hobbled Blake Griffin, who played just 18 minutes, scored 5 points, struggled to move well around the court before being confined to the bench in the entire 4th quarter. Pistons coach Dwayne Casey said later Griffin was available to return, but Griffin said after the game, quote, "I wasn't able to help us, and we'll just take it day by day and see what happens," end quote. Now, if the team wins tonight against the New York Knickerbockers, they will make the playoffs. So, go Pistons. All right, a shockwave came through the L.A. Lakers organization and the NBA as a whole last night as Magic Johnson announced that he is stepping down after just 2 years as the team's president of basketball operations. It was a difficult decision, and tears accompanied it. Johnson made the announcement before the Lakers' regular season finale against the Portland Trail Blazers, a 104-101 loss for whatever that's worth. Quote, "I want to go back to having fun. I want to go back to being who I was before taking on this job." More on Magic Johnson stepping down as the president of basketball ops out in L.A. later on this hour. Also, 2 cool bites we have here. First, Dwayne Wade retired last night in what is perceived to be his final game now. Final home game, I should say, at American Airlines Arena, as the Miami Heat paid him a salute And Dwayne Wade, wow, he was fantastic last night. Really cool to see him go out the way he did last night. We've got a snippet of Dwayne Wade's retirement.
I'm thankful for this moment. I'm thankful for this entire season. This season has been a lot about me. As much as I appreciate that, my teammates and my coaching staff, thank you guys for dancing with me this year. I thank you guys for y'all patience this year. I thank y'all for y'all generosity this year, man. I thank y'all for y'all support. I thank y'all for y'all love. I thank y'all for having my back, brothers, man. Heat Nation, thank you. Love you guys.
Yeah, so Wade County said goodbye to D. Wade. He is certainly going to be missed. Hard to believe that he's retiring. Also, and I think this came out of nowhere, right? Connor Mathis behind the glass, engineer of the Monday, Wednesday, and occasionally Friday edition of Current Sports. Dirk Nowitzki didn't give everybody a heads up, I believe, prior to the season or even during the season.
It was speculated that he was going to retire, but he never confirmed the rumors.
Right. So, I believe the Mavericks, they were ready for it. They had some tributes that they had for him last night. But last night was the first time that he officially came out and said that, yeah, this is my last hoorah with the team. This will be my final game in Dallas. Mark Cuban was there, the team owner. He shed some tears. Just a really bittersweet moment. We have a snippet from what Dirk had to say last night.
This was my last home game. This is obviously super, super emotional. There's just too many people to really thank. Obviously, Mark and the whole and coach and all Mavs organization for not to, only tonight, for the entire 21 years, for all the fans that supported me. I put you guys on a hell of a ride with a lot of ups and downs, and you guys always stuck with me and supported me, so I appreciate it. It's been an amazing ride, and thank you guys so much for coming out.
So again, Dirk Nowitzki talking to the crowd, announcing that last night was his final home game, donning a Dallas Mavericks jersey. So Dwayne Wade and Dirk Nowitzki, final home games in their respective cities that they have dedicated a lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of giving back. I love both of these players. So, again, a bittersweet moment for both last night as the future Hall of Famers both added 30 points apiece. Wade, the longtime Miami Heat star, will finish his career with 13 All-Star appearances, 3 NBA championships, and an 8-time NBA, well, I should say all-NBA team honoree. Also for Dirk, who spent his entire career with the Mavs. He was a 14-time All-Star, 2007 MVP, and NBA champion back in 2011. Connor, I know you are a huge Miami Heat fan. You're actually wearing a Miami Heat lid right now. What was that like watching Dwayne Wade say goodbye? And also, I want to note this as well. Pretty funny. Two funny moments last night in the mix with all of the emotion, right? When he hit one of his jumpers, he fell on Chrissy Teigen and John Legend.
Yep, that was funny.
That picture has gone viral. If you have not seen that picture, that thing should be framed somewhere in D. Wade's and Gabrielle Union's house. It's a great picture. Also, Dwayne Wade, when he was getting ready to say his final speech, he tried to jump on the podium, didn't quite make it, then tried a second time and actually fell and said, "That was tragic, let's try it again." Then he got up there and said some of the words that you just heard. So those two moments were pretty funny last night. But what was it like for you watching a player that you obviously love say goodbye to the game?
I mean, it was kind of crazy. I mean, kind of expecting it. Like after the big 3-0, you could definitely tell he was slowing down. But I mean, he still looks like he could probably play as like in that nice little 6th-7th man role that he's kind of gotten accustomed to over the last year. But I mean, it's crazy. Now the big 3 Wade era is officially over. Now we got to wait for Pat Riley to make another, hopefully a good draft. He gets one like right every 10 years or so. So
yeah, it was an awesome moment. And there is, I don't know if you've seen this video, Connor, but it's called This Buds for 3. I don't know if you've seen it. It's a Budweiser commercial.
Yeah. I saw that yesterday.
You did see
that
it?
That was really good.
If you watch that video, it's a tribute to Dwayne Wade. And just to give you a preview of what it is, kind of, you know, it kind of takes you through how Dwayne Wade has been swapping jerseys with some of the best players in the league all season, knowing that this is his last hoorah. That's like a thing in the NBA, swapping jersey. Also in the NFL, they do that a lot. He's been swapping jerseys with you know, some of his guys around the league. And there's a moment where, you know, I guess Budweiser set this up to the point where, you know, he walks in a gym and there are some other people that want to give Dwayne Wade a jersey, a quote-unquote jersey. I'll just leave it at that. And if you watch, it's called This Bud's for Three. Go on YouTube and check it out at some point today. If you watch it and you don't at least get a huge lump in your throat, you're not human. I got a little emotional. Not even going to hold you up, Connor. I watched that thing and said, oh, my goodness. I'm not crying. You're crying. I'm not crying. Great stuff. Congratulations to Dwayne Wade and Dirk.
You know, also during that tribute video that Miami did for him, they had his son, Zaire, did a shot-for-shot remake of one of, like, Wade's first commercials. It was great.
Oh, that's I didn't see that. That's awesome. And also President Barack Obama, former President Barack Obama, also gave a big shout-out to him. So, awesome stuff. Okay, that does it for your quick hit headliners. In just a moment, we're going to play the Tom Izzo press conference, end-of-year press conference for you all. And then later on this hour, I'm going to give you my thoughts on the craziness that was last night with Magic Johnson. That was entertainment at its finest. And you can't be feeling good right now if you are a fan of the Los Angeles Lakers, okay? What are your thoughts on Magic's presser? Was this the right move? Did you agree with how he did it? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News. Tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Folks, a lot to get to on today's current sports. Before I get to Magic, I want to talk Tom Izzo, and I want to play for you a bit of what he had to say as the Michigan State men's basketball year is finito, in the books, done. Michigan State, a team that many did not expect to go to the Final Four, well, they did. Shocking the nation, shocking many here in East Lansing. Great season. You know, when you look back at this year, I think that you can make an argument, in my book at least, this season was the best coaching job I have ever seen throughout Tom Izzo's career at Michigan State University. Pretty impressive what he was able to do in light of the unfortunate injuries to players like Josh Langford, Kyle Arnes, Nick Ward, missing some time due to that broken hand against Ohio State. Still able to win a Big Ten regular season championship, a Big Ten tournament championship, and then you go to the Final Four of the NC2A tournament. Impressive stuff. So what I want to do right now is roll in just some of what Tom Izzo had to say at his press conference, which began this morning, his end-of-year press conference beginning this morning at 11 a.m., that thing went past noon, folks. He talked for over an hour. And he said, again, there was a point where he said, look, man, I got nothing else to do. I'm all yours. If you want to keep firing questions at me, I'll keep on answering them. I ain't got nothing to do until 3 p.m. I love Izzo. I love how transparent he is. He is not stingy with his time when it comes to the media and the public. I love it. So I'll start here. This has been a topic in recent weeks, right? You know, the press conference that he actually held before going to the Final Four, he was asked whether or not, you know, he needs another national championship to, quote, validate his career. So after not winning it this season, he was asked this question again, this time by the Michigan Chronicle's Ernie Boone. Tom Izzo reflecting on his comment before the Final Four and not winning it. Do you still feel like you need another national championship, Tom Izzo?
Well, I don't think I need it. I think we need it, you know. And then when we get there, I think we're going to need a fourth one. And I got a lot of calls from our press conference here before I left when it was asked of me, and the way it was asked was, people say you will not be validated till you win another one. Do you agree with that? Well, and I said to myself, if I disagreed with that, that would be like I've already accomplished everything. So I did agree with the person who asked me it. Or I agreed with the people that every year I seriously go into the year wanting to win a national championship. I can say in the last 10 years, a lot of that time, more than half of it, I felt we were good enough to have a chance to win a national championship. I've already stated that in 14, I thought we had a real good chance. In 16, I thought we had a real good chance. In 18, I thought we had a real good chance. And, you know, and then when it was an Elite Eight, when it was the first game, when it was the first weekend. And as we learned through everybody this year, that's the way that tournament works. But validating our program is done by 23 out of 24 classes. Validating our program is done by 22 straight NCAA tournaments. That validates your program as a very solid, consistent program. Championships, you know, puts you in the blue blood stuff more. Now, I say that, and 8 Final Fours in 21 years is as good or better than anybody, too. So that's got to be something. But we are measured on championships. That's just the way it is. I measure ourselves on championships, so I don't blame anybody else. I think that's a good thing, and I'm validating is probably the wrong word. Because, you know, I talked to Tony Bennett last night, and I don't think he feels any different in some ways. I don't know if that's what validation is, but I think you should never be validated on one game or one season. I think to validate a program, and that's what I'm trying to develop as a program, you know, 20 years is good enough to say, you know what, we've been consistent, we've been good, we've been great even. But I guess I'm looking for that elite, and the elite would be, let's let Michigan State win 3 national championships. Let's let my era win 2, you know, and keep building on that. So I don't know if I answered that very good, but it did get confusing because everybody thought I said, I'm not worth anything unless I win another national championship. Now, I got a lot of alums that probably feel that way, but I don't feel that way. And it was just the way the question was asked, how I answered it. And I got a lot of guys saying, wow, you think you have to do that? That's not right. And so I tried to answer it best I could.
Tom, off the court, can you please talk about what these kids individually meant to you? It seemed to be one of the most enjoyable seasons you've ever had off the court.
Very true. Not always. If we lose, sometimes we came back right away. This time I said, you know what, we're going to stay. No, I did it for a couple of reasons. Number one, financially, both the parents and ourselves, you know, it's a 4-day minimum, so it wasn't going to cost any more financially. Two, I felt like players deserved the right or the chance to enjoy a Final Four. When you're in the film room, you know, I never saw anybody except that those that were out early in the morning or late at night when I went out walking. But I thought I gave those kids a chance. And then when you do that, you say, yeah, but if something happens, you're going to be responsible. Something goes wrong. It didn't even cross my mind with this team. And that's probably the best compliment I can give them over how they played or what they did. And to see those guys with their families, or maybe as important in this particular time in at Michigan State, to see them interacting with our alums all over the city as I walked around with my boy Mariucci and everything, it was, and to have people come up to me and say, yeah, so-and-so just took a picture with my kids, and hey, thank you, they just signed the hat for my son, or they did this for my daughter. I think we needed to bring our university together, and I think those kids did more than just win basketball games. And for that, I will be eternally grateful, because I do think I have a meeting today with my team, and I do think the first thing I'm going to say is, you've set some standards on the court, but you've set some standards off the court that we have to live by and try to meet now to try to improve this place and make it the safest, greatest institution in the country. And that's one of my new missions. So, yes.
I wondered if you had a chance to reflect maybe on the really the past 2.5-3 months where you've extended guys' minutes. You had a bunch of guys playing 30 minutes. I wonder what the cost benefits you found there, because usually you like guys in that 20 to 25-minute range.
Yeah.
And obviously, this was a little different.
Yeah, you know, I went back, and I, as I told you I would, I tried to – I had Max bring over our 8 Final Fours, and I looked at, you know, our overall stats, our conference stats, our tournament stats, the teams we played in the tournament and how we played. And I had some people say to me, well, you're not scoring as many points in the tournament. That happened 2 or 3 of the 8. But the biggest thing that happened is 90% of these runs, we were playing guys in the low 30s or high 20s, as you say. And I do think it took a toll. I think it took a toll on Matt McQuaid. You know, at the end of that game when he cramped up shooting that first three, and then he just couldn't guard the same, and then he was out of the game for 2 minutes, and he missed the big three. I think Cassius definitely took a toll on him. I think Xavier took a toll on him. I think Kenny took a toll on him. You know, it's a good excuse, and again, you can't put apples to apples. You can't say, well, you know, this team played their guys this. It just depends how you play and what you're used to. And I actually thought both Virginia and Texas Tech played 8 or 9 guys, but 8 guys, I mean, Texas Tech stayed in that game both against us and them because their 3 subs played better than some of their starters. And so, you know, we knew that could rear its ugly head, and it did through foul trouble, and what happened there that I didn't realize till later, and I might have said it in a press conference, but, you know, Gabe had to play 14 straight minutes. He's never done that. But then it was McQuaid that never got even a little bit of a rest, and he had to guard the best guy, and then when we got somebody else in there, we moved him to the other best guy, and we were just kind of, you know, worked him to death. And at the end, you know, they scored a few baskets. I don't think they would. But our defense was good enough. They scored 61 points. Our offense wasn't good enough. They did a good job. We did a poor job. And I still think, as I look back on that game, those damn free throws that first half, to miss 3 front ends of a 1-on-1, when you say big deal, well, 6 points in that game is an eighth of the points, you know, and that was a big deal, you know. And but they made some plays at the end. We didn't make some plays at the end. I definitely think it didn't help us. You know, we thought if we had Kyle Arnes even, you know, just healthy enough to give us some minutes and then use Gabe 2-3 minutes here, 2-3 minutes there, he still might have played 12-14 minutes, but in a different way, really hurt us defensively. And the same with Nick, you know, when he got in foul trouble, he's the only guy that was scoring inside. And he just, you know, I think he asked the question at the press conference, would I have done it different as far as played guys with 2 fouls? Or somebody asked me that. Not when we were 2-3 points. If we could gone in a halftime 2-3 points down or up, I thought that, and save our guys from another foul, I thought that was the best thing to do. If we would have got down more, I would have probably played both of them.
So again, a bit of what Tom Izzo had to say during his end-of-year press conference at the Breslin Center beginning at 11 a.m. It went well over an hour. I will post the hour, because, I had to start prepping for the show after an hour of Izzo talking. So I'll post an hour of that press conference if you want to sit down and listen to it while you're at work or cleaning up the house or whatever, running errands, who knows. I will post that press conference at WKAR.org around 3 p.m., okay? A few comments are coming in. I'm gonna address a few Facebook comments at our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News, and then we are going to dive into what Magic Johnson did last night, because there are mixed reviews based on how Magic Johnson decided to step away from his role as the Los Angeles Lakers president of basketball operations. That and more. If you want to call in and give your thoughts, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That and more on the other side of this first break. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. And again, you know, I do want to clear up any rumor that may be out there that Nick Ward and Cassius Winston are going to the NBA. You've heard wrong. Izzo addressed it during his press conference this morning and said that he is encouraging both to just talk to the NBA, you know, dip your toe in the water, see if you can swim. Right? And if you're not feeling it, come back. All right, but he's encouraging both to at least see where they would go, which is what a good coach should do. You know, look out for the best interests of your player, give them a fair evaluation, call up some people, and then go from there. Before I talk about Magic, I want to get to a few of your comments at facebook.com/WKAR News. You guys are really, really, really active right now on our Facebook page. Thank you so much. Steven says, hi, Al. Maybe Magic will come to the Pistons or get more involved with Michigan State. Don't think that's going to happen. Not at all. Actually, during Magic's press conference last night, he addressed the fact that Serena Williams reached out to him for mentorship and to be a part of her, like some kind of board. Also, Ben Simmons has reached out to him, you know, to be a mentor and to get involved with some other things. And now he can do those things, mentor other players and other figures in sports, and get back to being Magic Johnson. But as far as him, I mean, heck, before he took the job as president of basketball operations for the Lakers, I mean, he wasn't really heavily involved with Michigan State basketball other than, you know, showing up and supporting Coach Izzo and talking to the players, that kind of thing. So I don't think his role is going to, you know, change in regards to Michigan State basketball. You'll see Magic just as you've been seeing Magic throughout his retirement from the NBA. And no, he's not coming to the Pistons. That's arguably, well, no, I think maybe coming to the Pistons may be a better gig than the Lakers right now, but not too much better. Okay. That's just adding more stress to your life. You know, the Pistons, oh my goodness. That's an organization that needs a lot of help. Okay. Jeff agrees. Jeff says the Pistons don't want Magic. No. And Magic don't want the Pistons. Okay. That's not going to
happen. Dwayne Casey doesn't want Magic there.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's just not a good fit.
Right now, he's got to worry about getting Blake Griffin back and getting this team to playoffs and all this other stuff.
Right.
And right now, it looks like he's the one with the most control. Why would he want another name coming in and messing with his vision?
Right, exactly. And Magic don't want that job. Who wants that job?
Why would he?
If you don't want the job for the Lakers, which, again, I think is a worse job than the Pistons, You don't want that job. He wants to get back to being Magic Johnson. All right, that's what he said. Alex says Coach Izzo coached his butt off, and yeah, he did. Again, I think it was the best season of coaching in Izzo's career. We can go back and forth with that. Also, Ben, interesting comment here. Ben says, quote, it's too bad that the students at Cedar Village had to put a black eye on the campus with her actions after Saturday's game. The police arrested 3 van loads of students that were involved in the skirmishes in Cedar Village following the game. Those students need to learn to grow up and quit being childish. Man, I'm sorry I have to say this, but You sound like the old get off my lawn guy. Students are going to be students. I was a student. I told you the story about me. You know, when you're a student here at Michigan State, it's part of being a student. Not many teams, you know, have a basketball program that's on the national stage going to a Final Four. And I hate to say it, but it's a tradition, you know, to go over Cedar Village and go crazy. That students, it's going to happen. And I tell you what, though, in comparison to years past, what we saw on Saturday, 23 arrests in
not
comparison
bad.
To years past is not bad at all. That is, I give that a hand clap. That's not bad. That's absolutely awesome, actually. The police were ready for it. Law enforcement, they prepped for this. It's not like back in 1999 where they had never experienced that kind of success before and students going crazy like that. Now, that was pandemonium. That was craziness. Okay? But what we saw on Saturday, that's nothing. That's light work. I thought for the most part, the students, from what I saw, it was fine. Nothing really got crazy or out of hand. I don't think there were any injuries or anything like that. 23 arrests. And again, as Alex responds to this on Facebook and says, come on, Ben, they need to get a burn permit for Munfield. Do it responsibly. Raise money for charity. That's an interesting thought.
That's not a bad idea, actually.
It's not a bad idea. If you know they're going to do it, you know it's going to happen. So why
might
not?
Might as well contain it.
Why not contain it?
I mean, they already kind of had that plan in place. Like I was saying on Monday,
right.
They were kind of pushing people towards Cedar Village because at least they know what's going to happen.
It's not scattered all over.
They know what they're doing. They've done this rodeo a few times now.
Exactly. I'm with you on that. I mean, that may not be a bad idea. You know what's going to happen. Izzo at the pep rally says, hey, come to my house,
burn a couch.
And burn a couch. He knows it's going to happen. So he's even throwing out the idea that, look, let's at least contain this. Come to my house. I got a big backyard. You know, we're near the lake. We'll do it in my backyard. It's going to happen. And again, 23 arrests in comparison to what we've seen in the past. Bravo.
It should be noted that most of those arrests, the majority of them were misdemeanors anyway.
Yeah.
So
right.
In another discussion on that.
Exactly. It's just different being a student, man. I mean, I remember I when they went to the Final Four when I was a student, you know, in 2009, I remember being out there. You know, I wasn't a part of the craziness. I was just there, and it was like, wow. That's a moment that I look back, you know, now and say, wow, that was kind of cool. That was kind of cool. Seeing the students come together like that, get a little rowdy. It's college. It's college. It happens. Also, Alex goes on to say, you know, they will be, like you just stated, Connor, misdemeanors. They will be punished accordingly. Boys will be boys. And college students will be, well, I'm adding this on, college students will be college students. Okay? Okay. What I want to do right now is get to Magic Johnson. I've been itching. This will probably lead us until the end of the hour, just being honest with you, Connor. I first want to play some sound of what Magic Johnson had to say. Again, you had D. Wade retiring. You had Dirk Nowitzki retiring. Those are huge stories, not just in the world of the NBA, but in the world of sports. Two big figures. But those two stories were unfortunately trumped upon by Magic Johnson, who... An impromptu announcement. Nobody saw this coming. Shocked everybody. He held a press conference, held a media scrum, announcing that he will be stepping down as president of basketball ops for the Lakers.
And then I got a great life. I was like, damn, I got a great life outside of this. What am I doing? You know, I got a beautiful life. So I'm going to go back to that beautiful life. And I'm looking forward to it. And somebody going to have to tell my boss because I know she's going to be sick, but I know I couldn't face her face to face and tell her, even though I was just with her yesterday. And we had a 3-hour meeting about the direction of this great organization. And so today, Rachel, I'm free, my love.
Have you really not told Jeannie yet?
No, I haven't. I couldn't stand to tell her. But the one thing that she had in me, somebody she could trust and loyal to her. And then I will be that as well. I've been talking to people walking here. We've been talking about next year, and I'm sitting there saying, I'm not going to be here.
Is this over, Lou?
No. It's just, I was happier when I wasn't the president. And when you got to make trades, you're not happy. When you like people. And then I think that Luke is a good man. I like Luke a lot. So we have a different opinions about different things. That's okay. You know, that happens in life. But no, my concern is really my relationship with my sister, and that's Jeannie Buss. That's all I care about. All the rest of the stuff don't really matter. And this is not like you guys ask me a lot of questions. This is like I'm telling you what's happening. And a monkey just went off my back, and I'm happy. I'm fulfilled. And I'm happy with what we did in 2 years. I'm not disappointed on anything I did, any trade I made, none of that. So I'm happy about the direction. And if the young guys mature the way we feel they can mature, I think that this team will be outstanding, especially if you add one superstar to this bunch that we already have.
All right, and much thanks to Alexis and Jack. Outstanding job for getting that audio ready for us here on Current Sports. All right. I'm just going to say this. Let's just kind of dissect this whole situation real quick here. First off, I'll give you my thoughts on what happened here. Magic Johnson, first off, this was not a good fit. This was not a good job for him. This is not Magic Johnson's personality. I'll just read to you a tweet from NBA Insider, ESPN NBA Insider, Adrian Wojnarowski. This is what Adrian Wojnarowski tweeted last night. Quote, since taking over as president of the Lakers, Magic Johnson never fully committed to the job. Often he was traveling away from the team. His office hours were limited. He didn't do a lot of scouting. Running an NBA team takes a tremendous commitment of time and energy. Spot on. Magic Johnson was not the right man for this job, because to be a president of basketball operations, you're going to have to be a bit cutthroat. You are going to have to fire some people in some pretty important positions with your franchise. You are going to have to let go some players that you may have developed a pretty good relationship with. It is cutthroat. Your job as a manager, your job as president, your job as any head of any organization in business is to not be a friend. Yeah, that comes along with the job. But at the end of the day, you know, you got to do the job. And as the head of an organization, the job can get a bit ugly at times. And that is not who Irvin Magic Johnson is. I agreed with Magic stepping down. Because if you know that you're not doing a good job, and if you know that this position is not who you are, and you know that you're it's weighing on you and you're stressed out and you aren't happy, well, you have to remove yourself from that situation. This was not a great fit. He did it for the right reasons. I'll say that. Magic Johnson made this move to step down for the right reasons. But man, did he do it the wrong way. What really struck everybody during that press conference was the fact that, you know, he talked about Jeannie Buss, and Jeannie is like a sister to him. Jeannie Buss, the Lakers owner. They have a really close relationship. Well, if you have this close relationship, you know, wouldn't you think that you could go to Jeannie and voice your reasons why this job is no longer a good fit for you, and you guys can come to a mutual agreement with love that, all right, I need to step away. I love you, but I got to do this for myself. I got to get back to being Magic Johnson. You would think that Jeannie will accept that if you guys are that close, right? So why go behind her back, hold a press conference, and you know, if you watched the presser, there was one point where he said, look, man, Somebody is going to have to tell my boss. Because I know she's going to be sick, but I knew I couldn't face her face to face and tell her. Okay, under certain circumstances, workplace experts do say that there are valid reasons not to give notice if you're leaving a gig. All right, but, you know, and again, some of those reasons, if you're like in an abusive work environment, if you're worried about retaliation, if you're concerned about a new job offer that may be rescinded at the last minute, leaving you high and dry, those are valid reasons not to tell your boss, hey, I'm chugging the deuces and I'm out. But feeling guilty about disappointing your boss, Magic, that does not make the cut. All right. Now, thank goodness they do have a close relationship. Jeannie Buss put out a tweet last night around 11:43 p.m. And she said, Irvin, I loved working side by side with you. You've brought us a long way. We will continue the journey. We love you. And then she tweeted out the purple and gold heart emojis. So Jeannie's cool with it, but again, you could have given her a heads up, Irvin. If you guys are that tight, you could have given her a heads up. That's the only problem I had with the press conference yesterday. Magic wasn't a good fit. You heard what Woj had to say. You know, Magic never fully bought in. He didn't put in the work. This is not Magic's not a good president. That's just a lot of great athletes in a respect to sport. Just pick the sport. Aren't good at managing a franchise. It just doesn't fit their DNA. But you know the other layer I thought about when it comes to this gig? You can't help but think about the legacy and the history of LeBron James when you look at this story. LeBron James has gotten coaches fired. He has turned players away. It's been ugly from a managerial standpoint when discussing LeBron James. LeBron James is going to go down as one of the top three greatest basketball players of all time. He is on the Mount Rushmore of greatest basketball players of all time. I got him two behind Michael Jeffrey Jordan. But when it comes to how LeBron has gone about his off-the-court managerial, you know, you play with me, I can play with you, then we can win championships. But, you know, I don't really like, you know, that coach over there. You know, maybe we need another coach to come in. You know, David Black gets fired and the drama with Eric Spoelstra earlier on in the Big Three era, right? And now the Lakers weren't able to land a big fish. They were going after Anthony Davis. That whole thing was messy and got shut down. Many people question whether or not in the offseason the Lakers will be able to land a big fish to play with LeBron in the offseason. And now you got to find a new president of basketball operations. Luke Walton is expected to be fired at some point today. That's another thing. Magic, you know, talked about, you know, hey, man, you know, I Luke Walton's a good guy. I got a close relationship with him. You know, I don't really want to fire him. Jeannie Buss, you know, basically gave him free reign, but said, we want to let Luke go. And Magic didn't want to do that. It's not his personality. You know, Magic has been fine when it comes to tampering from the league. And he voiced that, you know, he said, look, man, I don't want to have to be fined just because I'm reaching out and saying congratulations, Russell Westbrook, on yet another triple double season. Or reaching out to Ben Simmons or talking with Giannis Antetokounmpo. You know, Magic wants to get back to that kind of stuff, being able to tweet when he wants to tweet, to talk to different players out there, be Magic Johnson. Totally get that. But when it comes to LeBron James, boy, oh boy, the Lakers, I believe the Lakers right now are in a crossroads. They're in an interesting situation. Because you look at it two ways. It's like, all right, do you sell off all of the young talent that you have on this team? Because I think when you look at the young talent on the Lakers, there are some blocks that you can build upon. You know, I don't think Lonzo Ball is terrible. You know, his season was kind of stymied due to the injury. I love Kyle Kuzma. Brandon Ingram isn't bad. Those are some good young pieces that you can build upon. But do you look at it and say, all right, well, LeBron is really in charge now. Let's just sell off these young assets and, See if we can bring in a big fish. Because I don't even think if they, whatever fish they do bring in, I don't think the Lakers are winning the championship next year. I don't think the year after that. Or even the year after that. And LeBron's not getting any younger. So from a standpoint, from Jeannie Buss's standpoint, you look at it and say, all right, well, let's give LeBron what he wants and see if we can make a run at this thing. Or do you say, and dare I say it, and I've heard this brought up by a few people, Colin Cowherd made this point that I've been having this conversation in the barbershops the last few weeks. Do you trade LeBron? I know that kind of sounds crazy, right? Yeah, I said it. Do you trade LeBron James? Do you trade one of the greatest basketball players of all time to make sure that you have some kind of foundation when LeBron James does retire? And to that, I say, why not? See what you can get for LeBron James, get some draft picks, and build for the future. Because right now, I'm talking about long-term future, because the immediate future does not look great for the Los Angeles Lakers. Lakers ain't winning no championship next season, or in my opinion, the next 5 years, unless something drastically happens and you get at least two big-time game changers in the NBA. But right now, what I'm reading, players don't want to play with LeBron James. I'm sorry, but the quote that Kevin Durant had not too long ago discussing how players don't want to play with LeBron James because there's extra baggage that comes with it, well, it's seeming kind of true right now, isn't it? Heck, LeBron James, did you hear this, Connor? LeBron James is having trouble recruiting players to appear in Space Jam 2. You can't get players to show up to Space Jam 2? Space Jam 1, one of the greatest movies of all time. Featuring Michael Jordan. But you can't get players to act in a movie with you, let alone play with you. I don't know, man. I don't know. This story is interesting on a lot of different levels. And leave it to the NBA to steal the shine from all other sports right now. That was pretty crazy. That was one of the most entertaining nights in NBA history. It really was. Okay. Also, shout out to my Pistons. You got the job done. Let's see if the Pistons can beat the Knicks and solidify your spot in the playoffs. Let's do it, baby. Playoffs. Let's do it, Pistons. Thanks to Jack, Alexis, Connor. Outstanding job, guys. We'll be back at it. Same time, same place on the Thursday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. As always, be easy, people.